money, 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 money.
I could use some dollar dollars. Give it to me. Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. Doing this for free.
Tim and Joel calling it in the ring while KO rakes in the big bucks.
Yeah. I'm as in shape as Kevin Owens, I think. Maybe I could get there. I hear Superkicked is offering some free wrestling classes. Maybe I get into it at age 30 something.
Hey man, if it worked for Diamond Dallas Page, it can work for you. Just like we can work your fingers, baby. Toss us a thumbs up here on this video. How about you use them clickety clackety fingers to leave us a comment while you're kicking around, because we got a lot to talk about. And you can subscribe to the channel. You can always do that, because guess what? That is the best way to support us right now. There's a Streamlabs link if you really want to leave a tip, and Tim can go find that money that he'll use to go to free Superkicked, and he's going to learn how to become a wrestler and do the whole thing. And then our Discord. You can get a link in the video description to this video and all the other ones. You can join us there, and we can talk about it. There is so much going on. Drew kicks us off asking if I can get you the lotto numbers, because Tim...
You're
Kevin Owens re-signed with the WWE.
Yeah, he did.
Look, man, I'm never going to tell you how millionaires or billionaires or athletes or anyone with any personal / private life conundrums, I'm never going to tell you how they're going to make their money or how they're going to work their business. But this was one to me that felt right for Kevin Owens, that the decision felt right. We found out literally 10 minutes ago that, wait, not to the bots. Yeah, never to the bots.
Never to the bots.
Sorry, I got thrown off by our chat. We found out 5 minutes ago via Fightful Select that Kevin Owens has re-signed a deal with WWE. It's a multi-year contract. It seems to be that AEW felt like they couldn't match what WWE was putting down. And as a result, KO got the bag, and I can't really fault him for that. You got a family, you got loved ones. You're going to stick around for a while, Tim. How do you feel about that?
It's fine. I'm not that surprised. Like,
you weren't in the Kevin Owens goes in a month boat?
No, not really. Not really. Like, I mean, whatever. He's getting paid. The thing is, he's on TV regularly doing things. Like, he has been consistently. He's back in the main event picture, which was usually a clear sign. When someone's contract is coming up and they start using him a bunch in ways that seem meaningful, yeah, it's a pretty good indicator. Like, you know, we got a fatal four-way at day one. Now, so like, he's in the title picture, he's doing his thing, and like, I think it's more about money than it is about any sort of artistic belief that Kevin Owens might have. They let him do what he wants to do. He's great on the mic, so he gets the freedom to do what he needs to do. I don't think Kevin Owens is super unhappy with WWE. I am, because their programming is increasingly more for children than me, and I'm bored by it, but that's fine.
I think you nailed it right on the head and around the nose when you said that KO is not only in the title picture. So creatively, it's top billing without being the champion. That's one thing. And another thing is, you know, he doesn't have to rely on, like we said on the show, he doesn't have to rely on ladder wars to get over. The guy's over.
Yeah.
He just has to come out and talk. And I think for some of the younger talent who are trying to find their way to get over, they don't necessarily do it by their words as quickly as they think they should or figure out that they could. They instead resort to those big moves that get them on the map. And it's cool. It's wonderful. It's fun to watch. But I think that in terms of Kevin Owens, who, you know, has a wife, has a family, is very family oriented, as we've discussed, and as he's discussed, it makes perfect sense for him to stick around. It makes perfect sense for him to stick with a family oriented product, whether you and I, you know, are into it or not.
Yeah.
That's a totally different question, but guess what? We're not going to every show that comes around. We're not. That's the thing.
I don't think I'd go to any show that goes around, but that's fine. Especially
whereas
not right
I
now.
Whereas I do.
You do. You watch it.
Exactly.
It seems legitimately horrible, particularly after Monday, to go to a live WWE show. Did you see the Reddit post? Somebody was just like, I don't get it. I haven't been in years and it was awful, but...
I've said this before and we've discussed it on the show. I don't mind going to TV because there's like a billion other things that I can watch while they're, you know, doing TV. And there's a billion other things I can do. And like, I sit with the hard cam guys and like, I watch and I talk and I'm on my phone. Like I have what to do when I'm there. If I'm with friends, we just chit chat and hang out. It's like baseball to me.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'd pay $20. $20 is a fair ticket price to go see one of those shows. I would not pay a cent more because I don't, they're not anywhere near worth that. So $20 is fair. Put them down $20. I'll go.
It's why I consistently tell people if your show is sold out or if you're waiting and waiting to get tickets or you have to wait for it. Do not go and buy the tickets immediately. Wait until they load in. Wait until they open up the obstructed view seatings. Wait until they get into, you know, those weird cheaper seats because you're going to get a ticket and it's going to be cheaper and you can always move around because 100% of the venue doesn't always show up to the show. Yeah, so now we're getting in the chat. Mod Mike's asking now, the real question is, does Kevin Owens become WWE champion in the next year? What are your thoughts? Does KO have another run in him? Is this where we're going to build to? What do you want out of Kevin Owens now that he's officially pen to paper for a couple more years with WWE?
I have no idea. I honestly don't know. I would like to see I always want to see Kevin Owens become WWE champion. The problem is if Kevin Owens becomes WWE champion, it's going to be at the expense of Big E. Not right away, but like it will be at the expense of Big E, I think. I think they'll strip it off of him, which is like, I don't know about that.
Everything comes at the expense of Big E because people are talking about maybe Seth Rollins walking out of day one with that
championship. Dreadful to me. I don't want to see that.
I personally don't think it's where we're going. I think I've made it very clear that I think it's Big E is going to pin Big Bobby Lashley. Big E retains
is my expectation,
And then the next night or two nights later, Goldberg comes out and says, you pin Bobby Lashley, I've pinned Bobby Lashley, Big E, you're next. See you at the Rumble. I think that's pretty much where it's
going. Has KO won the Rumble?
KO has not won the Rumble.
Give me a KO Rumble win. That's what I want to see.
Kevin Owens 2023 Royal Rumble winner. I think I'm okay with that. I think it's something
I'd enjoy that.
I like this. Our friend Drew saying him and Rollins will probably become tag teams. Or they'll become a tag team after the Rumble. Win the Raw tag titles. They did it with Shane and Miz, and then that turned into a huge feud. So you can do Seth and KO at WrestleMania in a one-on-one match if you really want to get there. I think there's a lot of opportunity. KO in the title picture right now doesn't need to last. But let's say Big E makes it out of WrestleMania as champion. Give him KO in the summer. Do SummerSlam, KO and Big E. That's fine with me.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
Those two have already proved that they can have really, really good matches. And I'm fine with revisiting that down the line. So the big news, again, Kevin Owens resigns. It's a multi-year deal. We don't know how long. Fightful Select broke the news about 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. I sat there and I was like, I got to do a new thing. I got to do a new thumbnail.
So no time.
I very quickly did that.
Oh, so there was time. Tons of time.
time between my appointment that ended at 11:50 a.m. Eastern and then the 10 minutes that I had, five of which was spent on the phone with my wife trying to figure out what's going on. Because at 2 o'clock p.m. we have someone coming to look at our house. So that's a whole other can of worms, Tim. I don't know where I am. I just think I'm here, but I'm here with everyone. And I appreciate everyone.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Raw? Do you want to talk about NXT? We're gonna preview Winter is Coming as well.
Yes, that I'm excited for. I think.
Where do you want to put that, chat? If you got thoughts, if you want us to do Raw or NXT or preview Winter is Coming first, put it in the chat. You'll see this in like 30 seconds.
You got half a second. I've already made the decision. Hot time. Go. Wait. Let's waffle for a minute. No interesting messages.
Do you want to go to Superkicked? Do you want to go to Superkicked and learn how to wrestle, Tim?
I kind of do, but like the case count situation is getting problematic.
That's fair. We're already getting answers, not Raw.
We have to talk about it eventually. So Raw.
Meanwhile,
first.
Raw first.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid.
We'll talk about Raw because we've been talking about. We'll go quickly because we're talking about Kevin Owens, we're talking about Big E, we're talking about Bobby Lashley. So let's just get right into it. What were your thoughts? Bobby Lashley, let's just get it right out the window. Bobby Lashley defeats Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and Big E to enter the now a fatal four-way for the WWE Championship at day one. Your thoughts on how the matches progressed, on how the story went. What did you think overall with Lashley getting into it?
I approve of them adding Lashley to this event. or to this match. I'm fine with that. It went down exactly how I expected it to go down, like without any question. It was the extremely predictable. Sonya Deville comes out and great, like, okay, anyway, that's nice. The Authority continues to be extraordinarily boring to me. It's not my cup of tea at all, because they're not adding anything to the show. They're just doing what I would expect and pretending like it's interesting. Yeah, KO, you know, does his thing, taps out quick. Seth gets DQ'd by KO, which they call clever, but is like, yeah, no, we all knew that was going to happen. And then Big E, you know, being the take on all comers champion, fights his darndest, but then the two dastardly heels in the match with him complicate things, and that's how Lashley gets the win.
I am all for the way Kevin Owens just got into the Hurt Lock, immediately tapped out and left.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was
perfect.
It made perfect sense. Like, it's fine.
Seth then, being obnoxious, whiny heel. Sure, okay,
you sure. Do it, whatever. I didn't love that they again replayed the DQ angle that everyone could have seen coming.
Yes,
but I did like how Seth played it off, because he's at least amusing to watch. So that was fun. And then, yeah, no, to nobody's surprise, Sonya and Adam came out and were like, "Oh, that's not how it's going down." It's like, yeah, we know.
And it's true, like Seth and KO were really good on Monday. They made a whole story out of it, and they made they did the through line, which you and I talk about frequently being probably the best thing that WWE brought back to their programming, was starting a show and ending it with the same story and making it at least work within the confines of the show. I'll give them that.
Like I overall, I liked that bit of it. It was decent. Like I said, it was predictable, but it wasn't bad by any means.
Do you subscribe to the Lashley pinning everyone makes everyone look stupid or look bad, especially the WWE champion? No, because
they did all of the stupid WWE stuff to avoid that, right? Like they just do they applied their usual playbook on that. So it's fine. It is what it is. It's just very repetitive.
Like, yes.
Well, we've seen all of it frequently. So it's just like, yeah, okay.
I'm going to ask you a style question.
Yeah.
Did you like Bobby Lashley's attire?
Yes.
From Monday?
Yeah.
You did.
I didn't like the matching red tights when he went into his ring gear. I thought that was a bit much. The red suit, normal, maybe just into something like, yeah.
I didn't like I'm sorry, we're going to get an old fashionista. I didn't like the white tie with a white shirt on a red jacket.
Yeah, it needed a bit more of a pop. Maybe even like a black tie would have been something. Like,
well, that's
a
the
bit
thing.
More striking.
Wearing,
yeah,
wearing black shoes.
Yeah, like there you Everything go.
You just tie something together. Something felt a little off. And a lot of people being like, "That fit was great," and I'm just like, "Was it though?"
No. Yeah, the suit was fine, but yeah, I didn't even notice the tie. I thought he was wearing just a like that's even just a collared shirt with like, you know, without the neck button would have been nice in that suit.
Yeah, for sure. But whatever, he came out, and you know what? The jacket, like the suit itself, the red suit was great. Mm-hmm. Love that. But either way, they had planned on doing RK-Bro. The Bronament finals were supposed to be on Monday. They didn't happen. Supposed to be Rey and Dom Mysterio versus the Street Profits. And then at like 5:00 Eastern, they said one member from each team has injuries from the weekend. They're going to replay this match in 2 weeks. Tim, when WWE tells me 2 weeks in this climate, I start thinking about what happens in those 2 weeks when you're, you know, maybe sequestered
for their only advertised match. Like, it's just like, okay,
uncertain times means 2 weeks of not being around each other. So I'm not speaking officially, don't know for sure, just raises a red flag to me when I hear 2 weeks from now this match will happen.
It's that or they're throwing it on day one, which I guess isn't 2 weeks. Like, it's a little more than 2 weeks, isn't it? So no.
Day one's in 3 or 4 weeks, but they're doing the match on Raw on December 27th in Detroit, Little Caesars. And then whoever wins that match, I assume, will then go on to day one less than a week later to face
against
RK-Bro.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes more sense, yeah.
It's just the silly, like, there's no build now. The build is the Bronament. Anyway,
which it's just going to be packages backstage with Drew or Randy and oh my God, what is this stupid name? Riddle.
Yeah, now that tag match is the only advertised match for the 27th.
Yeah, there we go.
Somewhere Vince McMahon is like, we're getting ahead of it. We're promoting just like they want us to.
Oh, my God.
Riddle versus Otis. Otis gets the win in his home state.
Good.
Love that. Yeah. Don't love them pinning champions in WWE, but here we are every week.
Fine. I'm fine with that.
We'll see what happens with Otis. Doudrop Bianca Belair, I thought was the best match of the night. It was also one of the only matches to end in a proper fashion. It was no count out, no disqualification, no distraction. It was very much just 450, 1-2-3. But then Doudrop attacks Bianca after the match. Your thoughts? What are we moving towards? What do you want to see?
Match was great. I have no investment in this story at all. I don't care. It's not doing it for me, because like, I don't know, the 180 from Doudrop without real decent justification in my mind, other than just like, I'm jealous now. I'm a jealous person all of a sudden. Like, I don't know, tie it back to something. You can't tie into Eva Marie, because God forbid they utter the name of anyone who isn't in the company. Like,
yeah, I think, I don't really know what to think. I think we're all just building towards the KOD on Doudrop from Bianca. And that's the whole crux of this feud, is when she hits it, it's going to be huge, and then she'll be over. And I think, again, going to the big move is what gets people over. No, it's not true. Bianca's already over.
Like, that's, look here, man. Like, I've seen so much of that. Like, we saw the first one there was Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And then, like, the Big Show was in the company for 20 years. So it's like, that's nice. You've done this so many times. I don't care anymore.
Fair. I don't know. I just expect a little bit more at day one. Maybe do a last woman standing match. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. You need to add a stipulation to this, and then I'll be very much into it, because they put on great matches. It's just there's no real stakes here, so you have to spice it up a little bit with a little seasoning.
I'm trying to think. I mean, you've got a WWE Championship match, you've got a Universal Championship match, both tag titles on the line. There's no U.S. title match as of now, but if there is, it's probably on the kickoff at day one.
Yeah.
There's no Intercontinental Championship match, because the Intercontinental Champion
there's no
is
Intercontinental on a tag champion. Team. Yeah.
So instead, you just wipe out that. So you got potentially five matches, four currently on the main card. So you do a fifth, you have Bianca and Doudrop as another match. That's three. Oh, the two women's matches. Sorry, the two women's title matches. So that's six. So then seven would be Bianca and Doudrop. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know if they'll do it, but
They really should. Like, I miss when pay-per-views felt like a spectacle, but now because of streaming, they're really not, and it's kind of depressing.
Same time, I could see them do it on the 27th Raw. Like the say the Little Caesars Raw. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of frustrating to me, just because it's I don't know.
I told you for weeks. Oh, I've ruined Kevin Owens with my positive attitude towards WWE. It's not that I have a positive it's not towards WWE that I have a positive attitude. I have a positive attitude towards wrestling most of the time.
I would say you just have a pragmatic attitude to people's employment.
I think that's a fair assessment. Yes. I try to think about what people want, not what other people want for other people.
Or how much like artistic integrity people want to apply to freaking pro wrestling, y'all. Like,
yeah.
I think he's good doing what he's doing. Like,
So very quickly, let's talk about Becky and Liv, because we just talked about women's matches. The promo from Becky, first of all, I still don't know what she was wearing. Still trying to figure that out.
Prince is from St. Paul. He's Minneapolis. No, but it's close enough. Like that's all she's gonna think about. She's like, I got this thing that's kind of Prince-esque.
I guess. It was the Venus logo, like the female.
What's the symbol for Mercury?
Oh, it was Mercury. You're right. It's Mercury. And then on top of it, it had Pacha on the back, which is an Incan thing. She just really mixed everything up.
Yeah, that is the Mercury symbol. But I think I saw a Celtic cross in there too. Like,
there was a Celtic cross because she is Celtic.
So yeah. So is it because she's mercurial? Like, is that? I don't know,
man. She's the goat. She comes out, she talks. Liv comes out, she talks. She's on the aisle way. But did you notice that every time she got a little. She was being heckled, or she was being like praised, and she would say something.
She kept,
and then she would turn and be like, "Thank you very much."
Thank you.
And I'm like, "Not into the mic." It was just weird timing.
Man, this was the one. This was the segment that I was like, my adult brain is dying. Like, this was so for children that I was just like, shut up. I don't care. No one cares. This isn't what life is. You're not a role model. Like, you're born poor. You're probably going to stay poor, sadly.
Becky going home to her hot husband and baby. Fine by me. And then
that's reality. Life. Yeah.
Yes. That's the reality I want to live in. Was there anything else? Omos and AJ make up for now.
That's cute, I guess. I mean,
did you watch a 24/7 thing? That was,
I did.
Finn Balor gets distracted by Austin Aries once again because, God damn it, you gotta make me believe.
Yep. Are we going to talk about that segment at the same time? Because that, like, cool. The match was fine. Feel bad. Let's talk about it. Poor Finn Balor. getting. Anyway, whatever. It's leading into a feud. So that's something for him, at least, instead of the usual nothing at all or like brief championship failed run. I don't know what Vince McMahon said about the pencil. I honestly could not understand it. I played it a couple times. Do you know what he said? Something about the eraser.
Yeah, I don't know. All I can think of is like, maybe you should erase your phone because I don't know.
I couldn't hear it. I could not understand what he said. Like, I tried several times. He said something about the tip of the pencil and then he flipped it and said something about the eraser. And I have no idea.
They cut away before Vince explained himself. That's what we've got. That's what my notes have.
I could not even hear the sentence. Like, man.
It was just it felt like a weird inside baseball reference because the pencil, the booker has the pencil, makes the decisions, blah, blah, blah. Was Vince trying to be like, okay, I'm just going to shut this down right now. This is all leading to Austin Theory versus Shane McMahon. Okay. That's all this is. That's all this is going towards. And it's going to be for the love of Vince McMahon's son. Who is Vince's son?
Yeah, I don't know. Vince McMahon looks like a weird Muppet on screen now, so I'm I don't
he's
know.
Not quite a mop, and he's not quite a puppet, but man. Simpsons references. I don't, that's all. So yeah, that is so Austin Theory distracted. Sorry, what's his face? Now I'm distracted. He distracted Finn Balor, and that's that. Now Finn and him have to have a match. I hope it's not a day one. That's all I can
big,
say. I
big win for that. Dolph Ziggler, though. Happy about that. Big Dolph stand. So,
final thing that we'll talk about from Raw. Let's talk about Edge and Miz TV and Maryse. I loved this segment for multiple reasons. It started giving me ideas of where it's going. I love that Maryse opened it up. She looks great. She looks incredible. And whenever Miz is with Maryse, the story is so much better. Miz is just reinvigorated.
Yeah,
so
it's really good.
Big fan. You know, out comes Miz. They do this and they just talk. Let's just get to it. They talk about it. They do the Hall of Fame thing for Miz. By the way, Miz is a Hall of Famer. He absolutely is. If you don't think so, I don't know what to tell you.
He's a double Grand Slam champion, isn't he?
He's double Grand Slam. He goes to every media appearance. He's got a hit television show that's been renewed for a third season or fourth or fifth or whatever it is. Miz and Maryse is really funny, by the way.
So. I don't care.
I know you're more of a road to the top kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the six episodes. That's all you need.
That's right. Hall of Famer, actual Hall of Famer Edge comes out and says, you know, you don't just get this as a me first, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, then they talk about day one and then here's the kicker. So they start going to battle each other. They start going to beat each other down. And next thing you know, Miz is in the corner. Edge is going to spear Miz, but Miz pulls Maryse in front of him and Edge just backs off. He gets out of the ring. He leaves. That's it. And then Maryse is like, what the hell? Why did you do that? Why would you pull me in front of this guy? Why wouldn't you protect yourself?
And Miz is like, this is what we do. We've been doing this. What are you talking about? Why
this is the thing. It was very much a Seinfeld moment. He was like, we've been doing this for years. Why don't we talk about it now?
Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, I agree with Elliot that Hall of Fame Miz got people real mad. And I'm sitting there like,
mad.
Show me the lie.
It's very correct. He's absolutely deserving of that and will be, if not this year.
Exactly. Anyway, so Maryse slaps Miz and then is like, don't talk to me. And then Miz is trying to follow her back and she's like, no, don't talk to me. I think I know where this is going.
Onto an episode of Ms. and Mrs.
Yes, well, there's that. I definitely feel that it's going to Edge and Beth versus Miz and Maryse at WrestleMania.
Beth did it's walk not a, away it's from not, ye old announce table.
It's not a Royal Rumble match because it's too entertainment. It's too entertainment for Royal Rumble. And I would rather Miz and Edge put their feud directly aside and just have like words or something going into the Rumble being like, forget you, I'm going to go win the Rumble, and then screw you, I'm going to win the title, screw you. And then they'll factor it all in. I'm more fine with that. But what are we doing at day one? I think the Miz is going to win.
Yeah, dastardly Miz win.
And I think it's going to be Maryse doing the swerve thing where she comes out and she looks like she's about to, you know, slap Miz, but instead she slaps Edge, and that's the distraction, and Miz hits the skull crushing finale. They kiss, and then Edge is off TV again for a month. We're going to say for a month. And next thing you know, Miz and Maryse in the meantime are just obnoxious and people hate them. And you know what they do, Tim? They do a vow commitment renewal. I did this. I messed this up the other day. Vow renewal ceremony, because it would be a goddamn, that's the first time ever.
Oh, and
they've never done it before. So they'll do a vow renewal ceremony on WWE Raw. But as the renewals are happening, out comes Edge and out comes Beth. And now we're going to start the build to WrestleMania. This is February, by the way, when I'm saying this happens. And that's how we get that that tag match.
Hey, man, vow renewals. A properly built WrestleMania would be such a dream. I feel like it's been years. So gimme.
Mod Mike asking, does Edge eliminate Miz from the Rumble? Entirely possible. Sure.
Let's do that. That sounds great. Just add it along the way. You know, sprinkling of events so that you have a nice, solid package to put together before the match at WrestleMania.
Edge usually has a pretty good handle on what stories he wants to tell.
Yeah. And they've been
longer
term. I was
given shit for this the other day because I was pitching this as an idea, and people were just sitting and being like, they don't know how to book all this stuff. They're not going to book it. I'm like, I don't care.
They've done it before. They have done it before. They don't do it consistently, I'll give you that, but they have done it before.
I'm also not the type of person who gets upset when things that I talk about on this show don't come true.
No, it's disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. It's, again, pro wrestling.
Exactly. It's pro wrestling. Oh my God. Edge comes out of the cake is the perfect idea. Thank you, Elliot. That's perfect.
Boom.
Edge comes out of the cake, and it turns out that Beth Phoenix is actually the priest, but she's under like a ton of makeup, like it's
very good morning makeup. Yeah. They got the guy from the Jackass movie.
Well, remember, you want to do a callback from NXT. She was able to get to deliver the vows or deliver the.
She officiated the wedding.
She officiated.
Yeah.
Thank you. Perfect, my God. I do not want to talk about Rhea Ripley and Queen Zelina. It happened faster than we could talk about it.
Oh, but they've complicated Queen Zelina's character by having her slip on the accent and get real aggressive.
I thought the whole thing was when she's doing the accent, she's putting people down.
Yeah, she's holier than thou.
And then Maude Dan's asking, do Maryse and Beth face off one-on-one before Mania? No, nope. I wouldn't do it. I don't think Nikki and Maryse did before Mania when it was John Cena versus Miz and Maryse. Oh, that's the other thing. If we're doing this match at Mania, what's going to be the big like announcement after the match? Because remember when it was Miz and Maryse versus John and Nikki,
there was
an engagement. Both couples are married this time. So what are we going to do?
I don't know. They're both pregnant.
What, Miz and Maryse are both pregnant?
Yeah, Vince is paying them extra to line it up.
Could you imagine? No, those dreadful Cavender twins that they got from the NIL program, they're going to make their debut and be like, not without us.
Yeah, it sounds like precisely zero of the people signed to that program are ever actually going to get in a wrestling ring, but we'll see.
I disagree. I think a couple of them will, but losers get divorced.
Yes. Yeah.
I had made that joke once and people were like, you can't say that. I'm like, what?
Why? It's a joke.
It's not my marriage. Anyway, by the way, There's no segue. Just hit the thumbs up on this video. Leave us a comment. Subscribe. If you're new here, we'd love to have you more and more. Our chat is bumping today. We appreciate you. The big news being Kevin Owens resigns. So we're talking about that at the top of the show. And, you know, we'll sprinkle it through. I'm sure people ask questions. And our Discord, people will be talking about that more. If you hit the link in the video description, it's there for you, just like we are every single day. NXT? Grayson Waller?
Yeah, I mean, you know, good job with him. They've turned unremarkable nobody into somebody.
What did you think of the entire night, everyone just being like, screw you? Being
dug
like,
it.
Yeah. I hate you, Grayson Waller. You're the worst. You know, yeah. What did you
I mean,
do?
Gargano was a...
Go ahead.
Gargano was a tweener, so it was like perfect, right? Like everybody hates because like he was beloved by everybody. You're such a douchebag, and he was an insufferable douchebag. He kidnapped a woman, maybe at the end. Thought that was odd.
I mean, listen, she's rich enough. It's William Regal's sugar baby, so yeah. What do you expect? Still haven't seen her face, even though she's wrestled on 205. I love that. It's, no yeah, one watches 205 live. Let's face it.
Yeah, they sure do love like just hiding a face for no good reason. I don't get it.
Oh my God, this is great from Supersonic. Grayson Waller is the Logan Paul of WWE. I think that's head on.
Bang on. Spot on. Like exactly. Everyone hates him. It's great.
Yes. Did I not say Tiffany Stratton? I think I did. You're just
behind you didn't from what I say said. It. It was just, yeah, it was alluded to.
Yes, exactly. I love that they're putting Waller top heel. He's just got to make more things happen, but he got the heat. He came out. He had his promo later on in the night. Clearly, everyone is behind hating him, and that's fine. Did not like what he was wearing.
That's the point, right? He's a tool, like an absolute tool. So,
oh my God, Grayson Waller is basically the Miz. I love it.
Yeah, more or less.
I want that.
And it seems like LA Knight is the face now, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
because he was going to be no matter what. So just let him be.
We'll get to that. Opening match was Cameron Grimes, Duke Hudson. Cameron Grimes, thank you, versus Duke Hudson, Poker Player Extraordinaire. The one thing I got to say, when you pull out a poker table for a spot, maybe take out those metal drink holders too, because that shit hurts.
Yeah, tough wrestlers.
Oh, God. Just replace it with tinfoil or aluminum. Wasn't that hurt? Good, but
it's fine. They're fine.
They're fine. That finish, by the way, I absolutely loved it. The teasing the hair clippers, it was more the pace.
Oh, yeah, the sequence. The sequence was great. I was going to say, the sequence was actually very good. I was disappointed in the final cave-in because they were a bit hesitant on it, and he shoved him off a chair. Less impact. But overall,
just the way that it worked, though, I was super into it.
I think it would have been better if he actually like committed to the cave-in. I think that undermined what was otherwise a very, very strong sequence.
Yeah, exactly. Cameron Grimes gets the win as expected. Good for him.
Yes.
Rips off the hairpiece. Duke Hudson doesn't look bad. Bald.
Yeah, it looks fine.
looks a little bit like you.
Yeah, a little bit.
There you go.
We got a better beard.
Can you put on an Aussie accent?
No, not consistently.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just move your mouth and I'll just be like, hello, I'm Duke Hudson.
I can maybe do like crikey and that's not a knife and that, but that's about it.
It's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Oh, I've seen you play knifey spoony before.
Mackenzie Mitchell is interviewing Cora Jade, and all night Mackenzie Mitchell can't finish a promo without someone interrupting her. And one of the times I'm into it, this wasn't the one of it. Cora Jade being asked about her match with Dakota Kai, then Dakota Kai comes out, and for some reason Cora Jade calls Dakota Kai mom.
Mom.
The age discrepancy is like 5 years, by the way.
There's a lot of that going on.
And Dakota Kai's just like, but mom?
I mean, mom? Pete Dunne calls Tony D'Angelo a geezer. Like, I don't understand.
Geezers in freezers. Everything is just a Simpsons reference now. Cora Jade, Dakota Kai have a match later on. Again, good little match. Good match. The shovel keeps coming out. In kayfabe, I want to know why that shovel lives under the ring. What purpose does it serve without saying Triple H? What is the purpose of a shovel under the ring? What
like it's a concrete floor. What there's no earth. It's probably surrounded by a big concrete parking lot. There's probably no earth for a mile.
Like. That's perfect. Oh, I don't know why they have it under the ring. And at least it's not a golden shovel. So anyway, what else happened here? Waller came out. I'm just going through my notes. Lash Legend. Do you want to talk lashing out? Because I do not.
What? Who was on it? Oh,
it was Jacket Time.
Yeah. Okay. I guess Jacket Time gets two segments. Yeah, we're good.
They just got very angry and started yelling in Japanese. I loved that. But yeah, afterwards, that like, Jiro just being like, Jacket Time! And it's like, oh, we're back to where we started. Okay. Amari Miller and Ivy Nile. I really enjoy this match because it finally gave Ivy Nile a chance to sell.
To have a match, like, rather than just a squat. Like, it was good. I really enjoyed that. She is excellent. Ivy Nile is, like, very, very, very good.
Yeah, and just the end of the match was great. They got to that quick finish into the tap, and that was great. That's what we needed. Amari Miller, we know, wasn't going to win, but the fact that she at least gave Ivy Nile something to sell for, and Nile was able to sell properly and make it look good, I think that was a win. I think
this is a good showcase. I'm hyped on Ivy Nile now, and like Amari Miller, like, they gave her an entrance. Like, some music, at least. That was nice.
They did.
That was nice of them.
Zion Quinn with Mackenzie again. This is the segment that I liked. Not because of Zion Quinn, blah, blah, blah. I love Legado del Fantasma, but that wasn't the point. Out comes Robert Stone.
Yeah.
And he does this whole, no, like, don't.
Stop it.
Dare. I'm serious now. Serious Robert Stone does it for me because Von Wagner shows up. And I'm like, stop talking, Von Wagner. Stop talking forever. Robert Stone is going to be the guy who talks for you now.
And I'm that fine would be with that. Great. Please let that happen, because say it to my face. Okay, buddy.
He looks like he had a stroke.
Kind of. Sadly.
But you and I joked about that last week, and we were both kind of like, ugh, no. And then Robert Stone just turned us both around on it by being like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to be serious now. That's how we're going to go. That's what we're here for.
Works for me. Get you a mean man.
And that's what he needs. Robert Stone needs to be talking for someone who's big and imposing and will beat the shit out of people. He needs to talk big so that Von Wagner has to step in and beat people up for him.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's what I want. Von Wagner doesn't need to talk. I think
when he talks. Von Wagner should not talk is what I'm saying. So
exactly. Like, Wagner should never be around a microphone. He should be allergic to microphones. Where anyone puts it in his face, he starts coughing and sneezing uncontrollably. And then Robert Stone's like, I got this.
And they should give him some better pants.
Oh my God, please. Please.
He's got dump butt. He's got that dumpy butt in those pants. Give him something that accentuates his features.
MSK and their bro, Matt Riddle. Listen, man, I'm just going to put it out there. I think Riddle was a substitution. We'll just put that out there. I don't think Riddle was the original Shaman. I just have a feeling. I really just have a feeling. They pull out a bunch of stuff. The baseball bat, the pylon. That
baseball bat was so dented.
They've used it. They've been socking dingers.
Socking dingers off of not the barrel.
That's right.
Somehow. Just pure power.
And then they pull out John Cena's U.S. Championship spinner belt, which I popped. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
And then they pull out scooters, which was just...
Yeah, the answer was scooters?
I guess. And now the three of them rode off into the sunset.
Yeah, so now they're going to win, I guess, because scooters.
There were no shrooms. There was no weed.
No,
there were no drugs.
Family programming.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Guru Raj gets beat the shit out of by Harland. With me in his corner.
He did some moves. He's got the same big man finish that every big man who's big man in the last 5 years has. Like, he picks him up and he does. I was so scared he was going to do a back body drop as his finish. It really, like, it looked like that was going to be it. And no, he did a higher rock bottom, so that's
cool. It's a side slam, side effect thing. I was expecting a power slam, like the Braun power slam. Yeah. But that's what Braun Breaker does, and that's what Braun, the other Braun Strowman, now Titan.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does. So, but, yeah, Mr. Forward Roll had no forward rolls in his arsenal today.
All I'm saying is I'm glad it was not just a back body drop, because it super looked like it was going to be for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, Brian Kendrick gets tossed down a flight of stairs.
Didn't even recognize that was Brian Kendrick, who, if he had a neck injury, is dead now because of how they handled that. Like, he ain't walking ever again. The WWE coaching staff clearly has zero medical training.
When they showed the follow-up with the camera looking into the medical bay and it's Kendrick being looked at, I was expecting Harlan to, like, just pop in and, like, while the camera's still behind the glass, just beat the shit out of him, capture him, and, like, throw him off the roof of the PC or something weird like that. Instead, they're like, Brian Kendrick's been taken to a local medical facility. Okay, sure.
They were really into just pointlessly describing injuries in too much detail last night. Because they talked about Cora Jade being re-injured. Yeah, I was like, okay, but she's day-to-day. And then LA Knight has multiple undisclosed injuries. It's like, okay, whatever. Like,
yeah. Yeah, former world champion, the Brian Kendrick, goes to the local medical facility. That's right. Oh, do they actually? They said hospital.
Okay.
Once in a while, Vic Joseph slips. By the way, going back to the Dakota Kai and Cora Jade match, I'm again, because I need to make the high school illusion for everybody, as like skater girl, not popular, nerdy skater girl, Cora Jade's coming down out of class, down the aisle, and going to class in the ring. She runs into popular, super beautiful Mandy Rose, and they stare each other down in the hallway because they're the most like diametrically opposed humans imaginable in the women's division, and that's what we're going towards.
Tony D'Angelo says he's the head of the class, right? Like, they keep, because he was fighting Andre Chase. Like, it's not even like a bit. This is exactly what they're modeling NXT 2.0 off of.
Grayson Waller wants to boff the pretty rich girl with the daddy.
Yeah. He's a douchebag, kind of sort of incel. Like,
he thinks that Io Shirai, the beautiful foreign exchange deadly woman student, likes him because she's
yelling
in Japanese. Yeah.
LA Knight is Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
I stay the same. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah.
Gross. But yeah,
I feel like basically, that's a line he's used. Tony D versus Andre Chase happens. By the way, when he pulls out the mouth guard in the trophy case, I popped. I thought that was so stupid.
It's
and silly,
pretty great. It's so good. He doesn't do this in his entrance, and he should be doing more of this.
No, everyone else is doing this.
Embrace it. Just be a part of it. Anyway, it's fine.
I'm sure someone in the chat's going to start doing it now.
Yeah, do it. Throw up them. Yes.
Yeah, unpopular skater girl, Cora Jade versus leader of the clique, Shawn Michaels. Chase Yu. There's the guy with the long hair who's last name. I keep wanting to call him Sin Bodhi because that's not his name. Either way, Bodhi is his name. Running around the back of
with the flag.
With the flag. I love it. I think it's so stupid, but it's perfect.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Getting himself over in the right way.
He's never gonna win a match, but it's great. It's good to watch.
Should have cut his hair. Tony D wins with the Fisherman Buster. I like it. Again, Tony D is over. But out comes Pete Dunne, and Pete Dunne eventually gets his mouth guard back by breaking that case with his foot.
Stomped it good.
Tim, why the hell didn't he wash the stupid thing before putting
because
it back?
Because he's too hard. He'll put it in with glass bits in it.
Oh, that was so upsetting.
He's a hard man. One would think he'd just have multiple mouth guards. It's a big part of his profession.
He doesn't make a lot of money in NXT.
They're not expensive. They're just not expensive. Right. They're like 20, 30 bucks Canadian. I don't know what they're like.
You just expect a little bit more. Anyway, Sting Boa wins a match. I don't have anything to talk about with
that. Dreadful. Everything dreadful. Just
not much going on.
Awful entrance, awful makeup, awful character. Go away.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jack of Time, they beat Grizzled Young Veteran. I don't know how to feel about that one.
This match was great, but it was, it's weird. Like, first time Grizzled Young Vets have been in the ring in ages, it feels like. And yeah, great match. Really great match. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the point of anything is.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, if Jack and Time are going to start getting some wins, that's fine by me. If they want to go for the tag titles, that's fine by me too.
I think they're pushing him. It's just, again, I feel bad. What are Grizzled Young Vets even doing? Like,
they're stealing stuff, Tim. They're stealing stuff. Trick and Mello running into Strong and Bivens, and Dexter Loomis gave the picture, or didn't give it, but had the picture of him and Loomis. Anyway, Trick Williams versus Dexter Loomis. That's coming. That's all I got.
Okay.
That's fine by me. It'll be a fun match, I'm sure.
Sure.
Oh, here we go. Cora Jade saying her arm was re-aggravated in her match. Brian Kendrick suffered a cervical fracture. That's what they said.
Yeah, probably when they yanked him back around. Like they flipped his ass over after falling down the stairs instead of leaving him in place.
All right, main event time. Did we watch it? Yes, we did. Bron Breakker versus Roderick Strong. I like the match. I thought they had a very good match.
It
had
no purpose, but it was fine. Roderick Strong.
It was just there to get Bron Breakker over and look good, and they did it.
I sure do wish they'd throw that purple belt in the trash, but
make it like spackle colored.
I just throw it in the garbage. It has no meaning, no purpose, no gravitas, like garbage.
If only I had won that title at War Games, and then it would be the open weight inclusivity title.
That's inclusive weight. That's thoroughly worthy of mid-card entertainment would be that, but
yeah. Instead, we got that. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the North American title and the Cruiserweight title mold together.
Yeah, do it.
Because they kind of started teasing that with Mello and Strong in that backstage segment.
A little bit.
There we go. So either way, Bron Breakker gets the win. Good little match, 10 minutes for the main event. And then out comes Ciampa, and Ciampa takes out Breakker, says, "Welcome to the deep end." And then the crowd tries to chant Psycho Killer and feels not great about that.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Either way, listen, I didn't love NXT this week. I didn't hate it. I didn't feel it was fine. You know, I wasn't upset by it.
Io Shirai screamed at Grayson Waller because, I mean, I don't know why that's noteworthy. She has made it very clear she doesn't like anyone. So
I also don't like anyone, but I like you people. Yeah. And if you people want to like us, you can toss us a thumbs up. Tim, I like you too. You can leave us a comment here. Talked about Kevin Owens re-signing a contract earlier in the show. We can talk about that later too. And you can subscribe to the channel while you're here because we talk about wrestling twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays at noon Eastern. Tim's usually awake, so am I. And we have our Discord 24/7. That thing's open. And there's a link to it in the video description. Tim?
Look how many folds I can get in my head.
My God, you look like Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah. Anyway.
Brace yourselves. Winter is here. It's not coming. It's here.
Is that God tonight? Damn. That's yes. Tonight, right?
That's tonight.
Okay.
Winter is no longer coming. We all are going to come here to watch AEW Dynamite. Tim, we got a big, big match. We're going to talk about that world title match. Let's start with Wardlow versus Matt Sydal in a match that I didn't know I needed to see.
This is happening? Why is this happening? That's fine. It does sound good. I just don't know why.
I think it had something to do with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. They just didn't show it because Sydal got yeeted from the match real early. Winter came and so did I.
MJF eliminated Wardlow and Matt Sydal?
I don't remember. I'm sure someone in the chat's going to remind us. Either way, Wardlow, Matt Sydal, I'm looking forward to a match between a big man who doesn't leave his feet and a smaller guy who absolutely does.
I hope Sydal gets kneed in the face.
Yeah, Wardlow eliminated Sydal, but it was early in the match.
So it doesn't seem like enough to get us to a match on a big event, but that's fine.
I just have a feeling that this was a way to kind of move forward with MJF and Wardlow.
That's all this is. That's all it is. Like they'll do a little talky segment after. It's, I don't know. Again, it's these weird, like not pay-per-view Dynamites. I don't know what the vibe is, kind of. Like, is it a pay-per-view? Is it not?
Well, what makes it even stranger is that, remember when last year around this time, we were talking about all the Dynamites that had some sort of special special event to it. Now we're moving into the quarterly TBS specials, and that's going to make these special Dynamites like C tier versus
maybe B-tier. They might just stop doing TBS. It then, right? Like they might just switch.
No, I think they'll keep doing the themed Dynamite shows. They'll still do St. Patrick's Day Slam and New Year's whatever they called it, New Year's Smash. It's special.
Doesn't feel special.
Thanksgiving
Dynamite. Wardlow is fighting Matt Sydal. That's not special. That's Dynamite.
Let's just call that the pre-show.
That's just dynamite, baby.
Yeah, last year had Jericho and Kazarian, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
Dynamite. You got to do something. You got 2 hours.
Just don't.
We don't breathe on Wednesday nights. Serena Deeb takes on Hikaru Shida. That's their third match.
Pay-per-view match. See, I'm getting whiplash here.
That's a good match. That's the match I'm looking forward to. You know what, though? Because this is a special Dynamite, I really wish they had done a TBS title match. Not match. Tournament match.
Advance their Stumpy bracket. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, the Stumpiest brackets are on Raw right now.
Yeah, oh my God. And couldn't even get through it. My God.
Well, yeah, so Fordor makes a good assumption here. Like, it's hard for a theme episode to matter when the regular Dynamite is good.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know what my opinion is? Pay-per-views for like once every quarter. And just regular Dynamites is fine with me. I don't mind long builds, but everyone else has a problem. They can't wait. No patience. No patience in American society.
I think one of the hardest breaks right now for AEW is this time frame where they come out of November and full gear and they have to go all the way to March to get to Revolution. And then they have to go from March all the way to September to get to All Out.
Yeah, like my ideal situation would be 6 pay-per-views a year for AEW. I think that would be excellent. If they could do, you know, 2-month builds, I think that would, they have the chops to tell interesting stories that way. And, you know, you can still have the odd big blow-off match on Dynamite, but, like, you know, don't make it such a big thing. Maybe do that as, like, the main event of a Dynamite.
Yeah. I like this idea of doing an Iron Man match between Deeb and Shida. I don't think it would get over as much on Dynamite. I think on Rampage, that would be an excellent placement. Yeah. For Deeb and Shida.
But then anyway, there's a 30, but maybe like a whole episode of Rampage.
I could do a 30 minute. I don't know if I want to sit through 30 minutes,
I think is what it's going to be. Like,
yeah. If it's on pay-per-view, we'd do 60. If it's even that, that can take the crowd a long time.
Like, yeah. At 30 minutes, it would be fine. And I think if anyone's going to do it well, is those two. Like, this match might be match of the night for me. We'll see.
And I think we're not contesting that 4 pay-per-views doesn't work. I think it's the spacing needs to work.
Exactly.
They want to.
It should be at the end of every quarter. I don't. Like,
yes, having a pay per view on September 1st and then another one at the middle of November, kind of doesn't work when the other side is like months and months of build and wait. So they got to find a way to balance that out.
I guess December sucks, so they don't want to. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, we'll get to the debut ideas in a second, but first, the Dynamite Diamond Ring. It's MJF versus Dante Martin. I'm looking forward to that.
That's gonna be good. Good match.
Yeah. Is this the match? Does Wardlow get involved in this match?
I don't know. I think we're still another couple of weeks away.
Does Punk get involved in this match? Costing MJF the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Maybe. That'd be a good little way. Punk, something that Punk hasn't really done in AEW yet. Be that kind of guy.
I'm guessing Team Taz gets involved because they definitely want a piece of Dante Martin. Oh,
my God.
You're
right.
So that's the thing. If Dante Martin is going to have Team Taz going after him, CM Punk's going to have to come.
Punk comes out as the equalizer. Dante gets. Yeah, I can see that working.
Does Punk come out with anyone else, though? Because a Leo Rush, I guess.
Maybe.
They're friends again. Or his brother.
Maybe
it's the return of Darius
that's
Martin.
Good. Yeah. With Leo Rush. Just have them come out.
Yeah.
And then maybe Punk. Nice. Yeah, maybe Punk comes out his music, his mid-match or something weird, and then he's like, come on, boys. And then they come on down.
Sure. I mean, listen, that's fine. At the end of the day, I want Dante Martin to win this Dynamite Diamond Ring.
I think he might.
I think this is his opportunity and his time. I made reference to this before. I'll say it again. When Tony Khan said in interviews that Dante is one big statement win away from moving up the ladder further, I think this is that match.
That being said, to put a little bit of doubt, having a 3-time something back to back, like 3 consecutive things, is pretty rare wrestling. So I think that'd be interesting if they do that too. I'm fine with either outcome here.
Before we get to the main event, because we're talking about people running in and running out, we were asked last winter, we had Sting. So who's going to be the big debut this round?
I think we see some people, multiple.
Really?
Yeah, I think a few. Not because I don't think there's anyone like Sting this year. So I think they got to. But Tony Khan thinks that it's equivalent I saw him talking about, you know, but he's the promoter. He's going to say whatever, but
exactly.
I don't know. I think Kyle O'Reilly is a pretty likely one, but that alone is not enough. You can't just have Kyle O'Reilly come out and they're like, yay.
Kyle O'Reilly is now a member of Best Friends instead.
That is as big as Sting.
Exactly. Listen, I know a lot of people on the internet have been talking about, what if Wyndham Rotunda makes his debut? Wyndham Six, former Bray Wyatt. I don't think so.
I don't think so. See, that would be, I think, Sting-ish tier, but I don't think it's happening. I think he's working on some what will almost certainly be a terrible movie.
But he's gotten paid for it.
And he's getting paid for it. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he might still be stepping away from wrestling for a little bit. I could be wrong. I agree. I'd be very happy if he shows up. Love him, but
I would be, I would be surprised. Okay.
I will love him if his gimmick makes sense. We'll see. If it's another invincible monster, then I will be a little bit tired.
I don't think you need a massive debut to get over this main event.
No, I think you need a few smaller people show up, maybe, and it's not even vital. Like,
I think there's something in the storyline that gets Adam Page, AEW World Champion, against the Americanson, Dragonson, Bryanson, Danielson, a big enough build that you don't need a big entry. So, Page and Danielson, that's for the world title. What do we expect? Is there room for Bryan Danielson to upset Adam Page in his first official defense of the AEW title?
That's the thing. He hasn't wrestled really. And I don't know. I think it comes down to what Hangman wants to do, because I don't think they would impose that on him. Like, I think there's enough respect there. But if Hangman came to them with this idea, then I could see him losing it, which I see as a potential, because there is something interesting in that for, if you're thinking about your career long term, you could do something interesting with that. Having, you know, finally gotten there and not been able to defend it, which again happens in fighting, like actual legitimate fighting all the time. So I don't know. I think there's something interesting there. I feel like Hangman retains. I think that's what we're more likely to see. But I think if Hangman came up with it, I think there's a potential that Bryan Danielson goes over. But I don't think Bryan Danielson needs to win.
What do we do if Wangman drops the title?
Cry.
What happens? Bryanson, Danielson, Americanson, Dragonson wins the title, let's say. Who does he face first? Right? That's the thing.
I don't know. Maybe if Punk wins against MJF, then we have that, I guess. And then we just hotshot it amongst a bunch of very talented top tier guys, and then eventually Hangman gets it back.
I think you're right. I think that Adam Page wins, and I think the next opponent is Miro.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me. So
we'll do an emergency podcast tomorrow morning if Danielson wins.
if that happens, I swear to God, you'll see the AEW championship change hands like every single month for the next like 4 or 5 months.
Until Kenny comes back. He'll be like, oh, keeping it warm for me. Who has it? I saw MJF had it. I saw Punk had it. Oh, Brian, you got it. That's great. Yeah. Wonderful. who do I face now? And it turns out that it's like Titan. It's Adam Scher.
I think it would be fun though. Like, you know, I expect fully like 95% sure Adam Page retains. But yeah, like exactly. In that 5%, I think it would be really fun if there's just a bunch of people, like if you don't know what's going to happen and for the next several months, like the title just gets passed around between some of the many, many main event talent, like wrestlers in that company, because there's so many top tier guys, they could just pass it around for a little bit and it'd be exciting. Because keep in mind, Moxley will come back at some point too, like Raven.
Raven reforms the flock. He's still wrestling? The AEW world title. It's perfect.
Is the Raven still wrestling?
Yeah, he can, I'm sure, if you pay him enough.
He took a lot of headshots.
He's fine. He's fine. What are you talking about?
DDP can come back, I guess.
Yeah, there we go.
Really put that yoga to the test.
DDP, who just proposed to his girlfriend, whose name also happens to be Paige. Her name is Paige McMahon. So you're looking at someone who's going to marry Diamond Dallas Page. And Paige her name Page McMahon. It's me. It's PMP.
Project Management Professional.
Wonderful. Last thing I want to touch on before we head off into the sunset. Our friend Andrew Zarian had mentioned on the We're Live Pal podcast that he does on F4W that apparently the Fox and USA execs are interested in one Maxwell Jacob Friedman, aka my Jewish friend. What do we think about MJF potentially jumping over to WWE?
I don't think he could be anywhere near interesting in WWE.
That's fair.
I feel like he is too edgelordy to sanitize into an interesting format.
He fancies himself a Roddy Piper protege.
Which can't do any of his shtick anymore.
It didn't work as well
good, for
in
good
WWF
reason.
At the time. Some things did, but some things really didn't, like painting half of your face a certain color that we don't do.
Yeah.
I think MJF and WWE is an interesting proposition. Listen, get your money. If this is what you want, take the bag. We just saw Kevin Owens did like, that today.
He would find a place. I just don't know. Because they insist on never letting anyone have their own brand, I'd be disappointed to lose what he's put together. Because he's put together a great brand. So
there's also a possibility that this is MJF feeding other people this information to get his own bag in AEW.
Yeah, exactly. Which
Edge did that with WWE, said, hey, AEW's made me an offer. And Vince was like, God damn, I'll double it. So listen, if this is contract negotiation, that's great. But if it's true that there are people interested in MJF, which they should be, I would love to see more of that. I want to see these wrestlers that are worth it get the money that they're valued at.
Anything that actually makes WWE fight a little bit is better because, you know, they were good when they actually had some competition. So be nice.
I do wonder, because Vince likes to have his own stamp of approval on any character, what does MJF do?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's going to have to go in and at least get contract reassurances if he has any sense to him whatsoever. But how much they're willing to bend on that, I have no idea. Never been in that room, you know? It just seems like they have to have dominion over everything. And it's to great detriment sometimes with how poorly put together some people's characters are. Like, it's ruined very talented people.
I do like how this potentially plays into the Punk and MJF storyline with the whole four pillars thing. It could be the big story is you might suddenly lose one of your four pillars, but it doesn't matter because Britt Baker is the other four pillar. Anyway, it's not you, MJF, forget you. Like, there's something in there that you can continue the story.
Yeah. There's fuel there.
Yeah. I think that's all we got. Tonight is Winter is Coming. That's going to be a fun show. And then we're going to be back here on Sunday to talk about Dynamite, Rampage, and SmackDown and have some good time. And yeah, once again, Kevin Owens re-signs with WWE. I think you and I had talked about that ad nauseum for a few weeks. So I'm taking my victory lap. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
They can find me at Tim Stonep. TimBTSStonep.
You want to try spelling that again?
TimBTSTonep.
Show us Tim and Joel Pod. We're at Tim and Joel Pod everywhere, including youtube.com/Tim and Joel Pod. Share the link with your friends. Tell them all about Tim and Joel Pod. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't, and leave us a thumbs up. We love talking about wrestling. We love interacting with our chat room. We appreciate everyone coming in and hanging out with us today. I am at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about wrestling. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your day. Cheers.